chilling on a dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the car.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 27, recorded on April 29th, 2024. After a little bit of break, we are back. Pirate, how are you doing, my friend?
Howdy! We're back again on air.
Yeah, well, we have a big show for you guys today since it had been a while. Just had, you know, a couple personal things and things come up. You know how it is when you got friends and family, things happen. And there was no other reason for that break other than just that. But we are back with All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca.
As the world turns.
As the world turns.
Am I not the captain of this ship?
So you brought this to my attention today, Pirate. Tell me about Mr. Willie Nelson here.
Well, today is his 91st birthday, 91 years old.
Wow, congratulations
to
Mr.
Birthday.
Yeah, congratulations to Mr. Willie Nelson, man. I didn't realize he was that old. I suspected he was in his 80s, but I would have never thought 91. Because you know what? He looks pretty good for a guy, man. I saw him recently on TV a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the weed, dude.
You think it's the weed keeping him young?
Yeah, maybe, dude. He's a connoisseur of marijuana, he says.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he was born in 1933, Chewy, so that makes him that.
Wow, wow. Yeah, I mean, when you put it that
was the year that Prohibition was repealed.
And he was born during the Suppression.
Yes,
I mean,
he was.
The Depression.
Yes. Well, you know, born in Fort Worth, Texas. You know, he was...
He's a Texas boy.
Yeah, and he was... called the redheaded stranger a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah, time he had red hair when his younger years.
I remember when he had the red hair.
And he was kind of awkward in the beginning. He just was trying to find his way writing songs. He wrote the infamous Crazy by Patsy Cline.
Oh, yeah.
See, a lot of people don't understand. He wrote so many songs during the 60s and early 70s for folks.
Yep.
That it was incredible.
A lot of artists like that, and they don't take credit for it, or you find out later, like Prince wrote a lot of music for other musicians. So does Lenny Kravitz.
Yes.
So that's cool when there's this hit song, you know, from a singer, but then you find out later that another famous singer actually wrote it. I was like, that's cool, man.
He wrote many, many songs. He's a very famous songwriter. And, you know, that was his beginning. And then... you know, the 1970s is when he transformed into the outlaw.
Okay.
With Jesse, Waylon Jennings and Johnny Paycheck, Merle Haggard, Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, another actor too.
Yeah.
And Kris Kristofferson became an actor.
Yeah. And so was, and that's another thing. Willie Nelson was an actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
neat.
And he was in the Dukes of Hazzard, by the way.
He was in Dukes of Hazzard, and Kris Kristofferson was in the Marvel movie Blade, and he was actually a friend of Blade. He made all his weapons.
Yeah.
With Wesley Snipes. I don't know if you've seen that movie or not, though.
In both Kris Kristofferson and Willie were in a lot of Western movies together.
Okay. Okay.
Many, many Westerns. I've seen both of them, and I think a couple of them in the recent past years.
Hey.
You know, the last 20 years. Do you know that he was one of the co-founders of Farm Aid in 1985?
I do remember that, because, like, Live Aid and, what was that, Feed Africa, you know,
We Are the World,
all that. Yeah, I knew he kind of jumped on that wagon. Let's get a bunch of musicians together, and let's have people pay for tickets. And yeah. all the ticket proceeds will be going to helping farmers.
Yeah, John Mellencamp was like the leader of it, and then Willie Nelson helped out because, you know, he's from Texas.
Neat.
And also, he was a connoisseur of the Mary Joanna.
Yeah, I think we all know that by now.
And he owned actually a dispensary in Texas.
Oh, he doesn't own it anymore?
I don't know if he sold it or not. I didn't do any major research, but the name of the place was called Willie's Reserve.
It almost sounds like a whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of them guys. He's an entrepreneur, not just
happy birthday to Willie Nelson, and we'll have a little more to talk about a little later with Mr. Willie Nelson.
Yes. Yes, we are at that point. this day in history, April 30th.
April 30th?
Yep. 4:30.
That is.
Yeah, it's, we are April 30th.
You sure about that?
See what the iPhone says right here?
You are right.
4:30.
So I have to backtrack from my opener. I said April 29th.
Well, you don't have to edit that. Sorry, folks.
No, there's no edit. This is on the fly edit. Oh, so well, I was off by a day. Our listeners are listening to a pre-recorded show anyway, so does the date really matter?
Should we have that disclaimer? This show has been pre-recorded, or portions of this show might be pre-recorded.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So anyways, let's start with number one. 1789, George Washington was inaugurated as the first U.S. President of the United States on this day.
Wow.
That's a long time ago, 1789. That's
a long time ago. He didn't want to do it either.
No, and it was in Federal Hall, New York City, because that's where
the old Capitol
was. And he made an address to all his constituencies on the proceedings of a new and free government. Imagine that.
Wow. Yeah. Too bad it didn't last.
What would he be thinking now?
He'd be severely disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
I think his curls would come uncurled.
Yeah. He said, I fought all this for the government to turn into this.
Dude, he sacrificed a lot. I've seen and watched a lot of shows about him, and read a lot about how he sacrificed a lot.
He broke away from England for less reasons compared to what our federal government does to us now.
Yes, you're.
And the thing is that we've gotten used to it and complacent. Hey, me too. I'm not out there about saying let's start this big revolution or anything like that. But when you think about the context of it, we broke away from England for way less reasons, and now I feel like our federal government has become tyrannical.
Yeah, and his whole concept for his free government was a free country,
mm-hmm.
not what we're experiencing now.
No, and we can go off on that on a tangent. Let's not. So yes. let's continue with Mr. George Washington.
Yeah. So let's go into number two.
Oh, we've got another one. All right. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. We can talk about that anytime you would like. Number two, the National Broadcasting Company, otherwise known as NBC.
Oh.
1939,
mm-hmm.
made the first public television broadcast in the U.S. at the New York's World Fair.
1939. Interesting.
That was the first public.
Wow. Because TV's been around, but TVs didn't start taking off till the 50s.
Yeah. Well, you know, that in 39, there was a race. I just seen a show about this on History Channel, and I just seen this. I was like, oh, wow. Well,
they were smart to jump on that technology. Because yeah. they're still around now. I mean, whether you agree with their news stuff, because they've gone a little left, they are a media powerhouse still to this day. So that was whoever was thinking back in the day. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make me a TV show. You're out of your mind, Jed. That ain't going to do nothing.
Well, commercials were the first thing that they started doing because
Well, someone's got to pay.
And NBC wanted to syndicate everything so the commercials would be across every channel.
That's
where commercials came from. They wanted to make money off of all of this.
Well, it makes sense. Somebody's got to pay for the lights.
Yes, they do.
And sponsors were more than willing to do it. So, you know, obviously that was handled before they started broadcasting their first show. But I'm sure people who dismissed it like, oh, I'm sure back then, that TV ain't going to do nothing, man. What a waste of time and energy and everything. And then I bet you somebody who did invest, you're like, you know what? We're going to get in on this.
Oh, there's a whole show about it. If you can maybe look in the archives of the History Channel about this, there is a...
Like History of TV or something like that?
It's incredible.
Sure, I can find something on YouTube.
Dude, the stuff that I learned from that was incredible.
That's a neat story.
Yeah, it's a neat story.
1939, cool.
Yeah, 1900, the American railroad engineer called Casey Jones.
Casey Jones.
Later made famous in a song.
Mm.
He died in a train wreck on this day.
Okay.
And he was put on a stamp, United States stamp.
He was that popular.
Yeah, he was some famous American railroad engineer.
He got stamped, but then he died in a railroad crash.
I guess he crashed the train pretty good.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Japanese bullet train.
No. 1989, Italian director Sergio Leone.
Mm-hmm.
He popularized the spaghetti western movies with this hugely successful dollar trilogy, which included The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
You said in 1989, though?
That's when he died.
And he died. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, I thought those movies were 60s.
No, the 1966 was when The Good, the Bad, the Ugly was filmed.
Mm.
With Clint Eastwood, of course, being most of the actors, the actor in the Dollar Trilogy.
Right, right, right.
There were many, many, like The Fistful of Dollars, you know. The
Good, yeah. No, I've seen all
Josie
those, man.
Wales.
Oh, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
The Bad, and Ugly. I mean, there's so many of them, man.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
He only lived to be 60.
Hmm. So, didn't live that long. Okay.
No, no, no. Yeah, not very long at all.
Yeah.
One more here. German dictator Adolf Hitler and wife Eva Braun.
Mm-hmm.
They committed suicide in a bunker in Berlin on this day.
Supposedly,
in 1945.
That bastard retired in South America. That's what he did.
There are many, many shows that say they went to Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And many.
Along with all the other krauts.
There were a big old group of krauts that lives down there still. There's,
still to this day. That's many, generational.
There are Germans down there like crazy.
People wonder how a Spanish-speaking guy who looks purely white ever happened. There you go. German heritage.
It's strange as can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's move on. Okay. Born on this day for April 30th. These are all happy birthdays.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. 1961, Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. Detroit Pistons.
You knew it, man. You knew it, man.
Of course.
American basketball player.
Yes. Didn't make the dream team, unfortunately.
No, no.
Nobody liked him.
Mm. Well, he ran into some struggles along the way and some drama.
Yeah.
So. Yep. We'll move on. 1946, Carl Gusoff, XVI. What's that?
Not sure. What's
what? Roman numerals XVI?
Oh, VI, Carl the Sixth.
So he was the king of Sweden since 1973, by the way. So our good friend Mr. Hill would probably appreciate this. That
yeah.
Today's his birthday.
Oh.
And he still is the king of Sweden.
King, oh, he's still the king of Sweden.
Yes, Sweden.
Oh, I wonder did Victor Hedman like do a shout out to his king? You know, because you know our Tampa Bay Lightning player.
He probably did one of these.
You know, probably wasn't in the mood since they lost.
Maybe, and it was a bad loss.
Yeah.
1960, Michelle Howard, first woman to become a 4-star admiral in the U.S. Navy.
Wow.
She also made history as the first African American to captain a U.S. naval ship in 1999.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I'm from, they're just called black or American.
Yeah. I mean, I like to use the, but that's how my research came up. So I figured out.
Yeah. The author wrote the politically correct way to say it.
Yeah. Are you from Africa? Where are you from? America? I mean, yeah, how do we say these things? I don't know.
Technically, we're all from Africa.
First of all, they just made it complicated, folks.
Yep, yep.
So, of course, today, 1933, American country singer-songwriter Willie Nelson.
Heck yeah, man.
Happy birthday. He had a lot of songs like Always on Your Mind, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, the famous Whiskey River.
We're a ski river.
Georgia on My Mind and On the Road Again.
Yeah.
And many, 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 many more.
Yes, a lot of hits.
Yeah, good singer, man.
Wasn't he on Hee Haw a couple times?
Yes, yes. Okay. He's been on a lot of different shows. I mean, he went to the Opry. I mean, he's Grand Ole Opry. He's been to many, many shows.
Yep. I've been to the Opry.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's been on many, many country shows. He's been on every... He's done everything, man. The guy's been all over. He's great. So happy birthday, and that is This Day in History.
News clips and pop culture and tech. So, Pirate, have you ever heard of a bar named Tun Tavern?
No, man. I mean, it doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore. It was actually a tavern back from the 1700s in Philadelphia, PA. Well, Tun Tavern is the birthplace of the United States Marine Corps.
See, I knew that the Marines started there, but I had no clue the name of the place. So that's great.
Yeah, they were started in a bar. So the building has been long gone.
Damn it.
But they have a plaque out there and saying in this general vicinity, because there's like an interstate behind it or something like that now. Well, this private organization full of a bunch of Marine veterans and other sponsors. You don't have to be a Marine veteran. to do this. They have the funds and they have secured the location to completely rebuild Tun Tavern from how it looked back in the 1700s, obviously with some modern architecture and improvements. And apparently it's only like a couple hundred meters away from the original location. They couldn't get the actual location due to zoning, whatever it is. But, you know, basically it's still down the same street and the same sidewalk.
That's excellent, man. I mean, that's great to preserve or reenact history, like
bring
that.
Back history.
Bring back, yeah, reenact. And that's awesome that they got this like location close.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, I've never been to Philly. I hear it's a challenging place. It can be, but I might have to take a trip to go up there and have a beer in Tun Tavern, because to say it looked something like this, obviously people were dressed different back then. I'm sure there'll be music playing in Tun Tavern. I mean, don't get me wrong. Even though it's going to be Tun Tavern, there'll be some modern touches. There's got to be like sports TVs in there or something like that. So I see the architecture being original, but now there's a TV up on the bar.
Maybe there's a lot of, a lot of marine pictures, maybe.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They'll have marine, that place, you know, like Mission Barbecue, right? The Tun Tavern will be full of
have all kinds
uniforms
of
and pictures and plaques. And, oh, yeah, that'll be pretty good. So no date on when it's going to be built, but they do have the money and the location secured for it. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Amazon Fresh shutting down. So Amazon's magical AI grocery store technology exposed. It was actually ran by about 1,000 Indians. So the idea with Amazon is that you didn't have to go do a checkout. You would just, the cameras would scan you. When you put something in your bag and with your Amazon account, you could walk right out. Well, it turns out that the magical AI that was supposed to be doing this was actually monitored by over 1,000 Indians in India watching cameras all day.
You got to be kidding me.
So the technology wasn't all that great. So the Amazon walkout technology, which was pitched as a magical AI technology, was actually 1,000 contractors in India acting as a virtual cashier, identifying what people put in their carts and tracking their purchase. It will be replaced by shopping carts with scanners. Well, because it still takes manual intervention, they started losing money because things weren't getting scanned properly or put in. So the customer thought they were legit and they didn't go after the customers. It's basically an internal loss because, hey, you guys didn't scan the stuff properly. And there was no customer scan thing. Like I said, when you pulled it off the shelf, there were supposed to be cameras to track what you put in your basket. So then when you go, there is no checkout, you just put the stuff in a bag and walk out.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it wasn't so great after all. How about this Howard Stern interview with Joe Biden? I found it kind of interesting, and I only watched some clips, admittedly, but I found out more deep down detail that the show was recorded. And it was very softball to Joe Biden. Howard was kissing that ass, man. He was kissing that ass and, you know, praising him for the economy, praising him for how he got the COVID vax out so fast.
And isn't that ironic? Because back in the old days, wasn't Howard Stern kind of like a wild one, kind of like anti-everything? And
yeah. Yeah, and now he's the establishment.
Now he is.
Kind of like the band Rage Against the Machine. They took a lot of shit because they were all pro-vaccine or not even pro-vaccine, mandated vaccine. And it's like you're literally supposed to be Rage Against the Machine, and now you've become a spokesperson for the machine.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a whole lot out of the interview. Like I said, I saw a couple clips here and there, but it was just kissing that ass, man. You're doing such a great job, you know? And then, like I said, it was edited. What did we miss? What did we not see?
Well, we missed this.
The big pauses.
All this.
Not being able to put your train of thought together. I mean, man. So that, that interview didn't sit well with a lot of people, man. It's getting slammed.
And the silly thing is that Howard Stern was in his house locked up for like
he was a COVID conjuriac. What do you want to call it? Mitochondria? Not mitochondria. Hypochondriac.
Yes.
Oh yeah, man.
He would not come out. He recorded the show from his house.
Yeah, he did it remote for a long time. You know, I mean, thank God for technology, you can do that. But no, that's how much COVID freaked him out. But then he's praising Biden for getting the vaccine out so fast. Excuse me. There was two vaccines out under President Trump. So you know, again, it was, you know, praise Biden while having selective facts, because under Biden's leadership, there has been some boosters. Okay. But overall,
he had the vid.
Yeah.
So he took the vax and he still had the vid.
Right? I don't know the exact details. We know a lot of people that did that.
Yeah.
They took the vax after having the vid when it's like it wasn't really necessary because natural immunity, you know, antibodies, all that good stuff.
So what's the point of the vax?
Well, that's actually a subject for today on later on the vax. I still don't see the point to it. And too late now for those of you who take it. Just look at it this way. I've never regretted not taking it.
Nah, me neither.
Nah. Anyways, let's move on.
Yes.
Conservatives have little patience for modern Hollywood. They pine for the days of John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart, and they've had enough of Tinseltown circa 2025. The progressive messaging, the woke storytelling, the forced diversity at all costs. The industry, in return, seem disinterested in their opinions. Hollywood all but ignores flyover countries in this product. Heaven help us if you wanted to work in the industry while harboring conservative views. The blacklist 2.0 is real. We're starting to see the signs that Hollywood is coming to its senses, and that good news for both conservatives and fair-minded consumers. This week alone featured three such examples. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, one of the world's most popular movie stars, gave a stunning interview to Fox News' Johnson 51. He told Will Kane that he's regretted endorsing Joe Biden back in 2020 presidential campaign. That's interesting.
Wow, that is interesting.
And he won't make that same mistake twice. He said, my goal is to bring this country together. I will keep my politics to myself. It is between me and the ballot box. Like a lot of us out there, not trusting all the politicians, I do trust American people, whoever they vote for. And that is my president. And that's who I'll support 100%. So basically, The Rock says he's not going to use his soapbox anymore to tell us about his political opinions. And that's not even woke. That's just one of those, oh, there's a Hollywood type telling us what to do again, you know, whatever. So, yeah, man, it's just, you know, maybe there'll be, you know, some hope that Hollywood can be not woke or hit the check marks for DEI, you know, diversity, inclusion, and equity, or equity, inclusion. I don't know. I like the new way to say it. It's called didn't earn it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny you say that because Seinfeld.
Yes, Jerry.
Jerry was talking about that he longed for the good old days of comedy.
Yeah, I saw that interview. That was actually a very good interview. You shouldn't have to walk on eggshells. You know, comedy is for everybody.
Exactly.
And that's what we got to get back to, man.
Yeah, he was saying, look, we've got to be able to make some jokes about us and jokes about other people and laugh at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And not be so damn hurt butt about every damn thing.
He's so sensitive.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
You know,
216 barrels of rum.
That's what more people need, is just more rum. How about this one, Pirate? Scientists say wearing jeans is bad for the environment.
Whatever.
Well, here's the study. The study reveals wearing a pair just once is the equivalent to driving a car for 6.4 miles.
Get the hell out.
Researchers say that jeans sold in the fast fashion produce 2.5 kilograms of CO2 per wear. So every time you wear it, you're producing CO2.
How the hell is my pair of Levi's giving off CO2, Chewy? What the hell? Through sweat? What?
Because you fart.
I do not.
Everybody farts. Buying secondhand or recycled old clothes can cut emissions by 90%. Of course, I don't believe a damn thing that they said out of that. But, you know, it's just part of this segment and how funny things are. Don't you got a couple things to throw in here for news items and pop culture, Pirate?
Yeah. The California minimum wage shocks fast food workers as restaurants now are closing.
No.
Yeah, they raised the wage up, Chewy, and now.
No.
And for some reason, the restaurants aren't really making enough money.
And they're not making money because you raise the rates, and consumers notice that because I saw that blurb, $18 for a Big Mac meal.
Yeah, and the newly enacted $20 minimum wage.
Yeah.
It's hurting these restaurants, people.
Yep. Yep.
And,
Well, you can thank Gavin Newsom for that. And it's funny how he selectively excluded some businesses from that $20 an hour minimum wage, like Panera Bread, because they classified it technically as a bakery and not fast food. So it's interesting how that was, you know, and the other to do with that is that these workers are not getting those 40 hours a week. So think about it. If you worked full-time, $20 an hour, that's equivalent to $40,000 a year. Well, you have to work full-time. Well, all these companies will not let them work full-time. You know why? Because if you keep them in the part-time category, A, you don't have to pay them as much. B, you don't have to pay most benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That is a just incredible thing. And I've seen it coming. I mean, look, restaurants have to have a certain amount of money.
Their profit margin is not that great
to make off of the food, the material,
everything,
and a certain electric,
the rent.
Yes.
Checky day, the payroll,
taxes.
Yep.
And I'm sure California is taxed.
Yep.
Beyond belief.
Think of what the electric bill is for a restaurant.
Oh God. The water bill.
It's got to be thousands. Probably not the water bill. But electric bill easily a couple grand, if not more.
Yeah, because the lights are on. They got all these big ovens and fryers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Freaking meters going like this.
Oh, yeah. The computer systems for paying, you know. Oh, yeah. The lights, the TVs, all that stuff.
So isn't this just a great solution? Let's just pay everybody a lot of money.
That they're not making.
Let's just
pay it. You can thank Newsom for you, you know.
You fucked it up. Yeah. You fucked it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's happening out there, man.
How about this one?
Okay.
The EU, the good old EU.
The good old EU.
You know, European Union.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Requires cars to come with tech that slows cars when speeding.
Oh, boy.
In the UK or England. The
government daddy looking down on you, huh?
And UK said, we're opting out. Sorry. Yeah, they're saying.
Well, they're not a part of the EU anymore.
No. And they said, well, we're not doing it.
No.
So,
stupid.
Yeah. And there's the EU saying that cars manufactured off of after July 6th need to have this mandated safety technology.
No.
Yes, it also comes with GPS mapping data.
Oh, to track you.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Sure. Yeah, whatever, man. Nope, I don't think so.
How about this one? Mike Tyson. He's revealed that he's holding out on sex and weed ahead of the Jake Paul fight.
The weed, I can understand. The sex thing is still up for debate because I heard about this from football players. They said there's a lot of football players that won't have sex the night before the game because they believe it raises your testosterone.
Yeah, you're bound up.
Yeah,
backed up.
Yeah, but there's also argument that having intercourse on a regular basis also helps with your testosterone. It helps regulate it, you know. I say that's a personal choice for him. The weed, I totally get it, you know, because you can't be high and working out, man. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to that fight. I think this Jake Paul's going to be in trouble, man.
Yeah, this is on July 20th, and I want to tell you that
it'll be a big American event.
That Tyson looks pretty stoked, dude.
Yeah. Now Pirate just showed me a picture of him, and you know, I've seen a couple of his training videos recently, man. He looks badass. You couldn't pay me enough money to get in that ring for him, even just for a round.
I know he's a maniac.
Screw that.
He is a freak.
And he admits to that. That's why he said he took such a break from boxing, and this doesn't count. Everyone knows it counts, but this doesn't count as far as his record goes. But one of the biggest reasons he got out of boxing is because he did get older and he started to lose a little bit. And he realized that when he got into the ring, it always turned him into somebody he didn't like. It turned him into a monster. And that's how he felt like in the ring. Every time he got in the ring, even just for practice, not a match, practice. And he said it would turn him into a rage machine. But I think the pot has helped him
over the years, because he seems pretty chill now in the interviews. I mean, him and Evander Holyfield are the best of friends, man, which was great after the ear incident.
Well, and you know, he's making money off of that ear because he just opened a marijuana edibles company in the shape of an ear.
You know, he had to get Evander's a blessing on that. Hey, just because they're friend, you just don't go make me making no ear freaking dispensary, right? Yeah, that's great,
he
man.
He said, hey, man, can I get a wax molding of your ear? And he'd be like, what for, man?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, he wanted to make it authentic.
I just want to have a mold, man.
Yeah, you know, I remember I did watch that fight live, man, and I couldn't believe what we were seeing. Because at first, he didn't get in trouble right away. He took a couple bites, but I was like, why does he keep biting Evander? But he didn't really get a chunk. But when he really got to that chunk,
I seen him spit it out.
And then he spit it out, and then the ref stopped the fight, and Evander's whole side of his head is bleeding down. And I'll never forget, after the fight, one of the news reporters said, hey, Evander, what'd you think about the fight? And his answer was, he bit off my damn ear.
It was clear off, brother.
It was a chunk.
Chunk.
It was a chunk.
Hey, were you with us that night? Did you watch it here? Were you here?
I might have been with you. I think I vaguely recall, because I remember we used to always get together for pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And the reason why we'd invite more people, because, hey, you had to pay for this. Well, if you get 8-9 people to go in on pay-per-view, you're only throwing in $5.
Right.
Because the big to-do with Mike Tyson was like, you know, this is going to be a one-round fight.
Oh, and then after that, it's a party.
Yeah, then you're done. Right. Yeah.
We were partying afterwards.
Yeah, I think I remember we were together on one. That was funny.
Well, it just says right here, Roy Jones Jr., the last person that fought with Tyson,
mm-hmm.
he offered Paul a warning. He said, dude, he is in good condition, and the former heavyweight is jacked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he is in good condition. He said, when I got hit in the chest, it felt like a freaking mule had kicked me in the chest.
Yeah.
So he said, be warned.
I watched that fight too, and Roy Jones says he was sore for roughly 3 weeks after that fight. Nobody knocked each other out in that. It was an exhibition, you know, bout with two seasoned boxers who were out of the professional rink. But it was actually a very good match, man. I enjoyed it. It was a good back and forth match. But nobody got knocked out. And, you know, as a matter of fact, they walked out of the ring together, which is damn near unheard of in boxing. You know, they walked out together, arm in arm, you know, like buddies, because they're buddies. But yeah, Roy said he was pretty sore there for a while, you know.
Yeah, that was a good fight. I've seen that fight, and I'm looking forward to it. July 20th, we're gonna be watching this fight.
Yeah, man. All right, well, let's move on to a couple other things here. Construction on America's first high-speed rail, our first bullet train, has begun. A high-speed rail between Los Angeles and Las Vegas will be the first of its kind in the USA, the project's proponents say. So it's a 218-mile stretch, and it's actually being done by the same company who put the bullet train in Florida. Now, calling it bullet train in Florida is a little suspect, because it only gets up to 130 miles an hour in certain sections. Whereas this train is going to be a dedicated track and can stay open the whole time, like in Japan. Like, people always ask me about bullet trains in Japan. You know, they've never had a fatality in the 50-plus years of the bullet train in Japan because of the safety records. Well, one of the big safety records is that the bullet train tracks in Japan, not a single one of them go through any kind of road traffic. So there is no gates coming down. And
no, they're walls, aren't
they? Right. Well, a regular train has gates, but the bullet train track in Japan is either built with a bridge, or the road goes underneath the bridge or over it. There is no railroad crossing,
no,
so you can't have Hillbilly Miyagi says, I ain't waiting for this train, and pulls out in front. Next thing you know, and the thing is the bullet trains in Japan hit about 230 miles an hour now. That would kill everybody on the train if it derailed at that speed.
Height.
So talk about smart and safe. Someone thought back then, we can't have this, because they didn't go nearly as fast back then as they do now. But the bullet train in Japan came out in the 60s, believe it or not. And their first trains did about 112 miles an hour. And today's term doesn't sound like that much, but someone thought way back then, we cannot have these trains go through any road traffic at all. Now, they do have ground level tracks, but there is no road that goes over it, you know, or it goes over it or under it if that happens.
We reported many, many shows back about the Bright Line here in Florida.
Yep.
And I remember we talked about their safety record, how terrible it's been, and about the people that just pull out in front of it and think they can cross the crossings.
Uh-huh.
I think it's asinine that, especially in South Florida, where there's so many people.
Well, they didn't build it on a dedicated track. No, part of the downfall.
They're using CSX's tracks.
And yep.
That should be on a dedicated track. I think it should be either, like you said, up high, like the Selman Expressway,
mm-hmm.
or it should be submerged and have walls built around
it. The only place they can open it up and it doesn't cross any road traffic is near the Orlando Airport, and it goes parallel to that old highway that used to be called the B-Line. It's like 517 now or something, State Road 517. It's a toll road, and it basically goes from Orlando to Titusville or Cocoa Beach, same area pretty much. That is the only part Brightline is allowed to open it up to 130 miles an hour because it doesn't go through any road traffic. But as soon as they get out of that cut and they start heading south, that's when they have to start slowing it down. So, yeah, no, it's pretty cool, though. I mean, I'm interested in tech and all that good stuff. So we'll see how that goes. This one will make you happy, Pirate. One of your favorite TV shows, Outer Range, got renewed.
I can't wait, man. I love that show.
Yeah, Amazon Prime Video has premiered the new trailer for the second season of Josh Brolin's led sci-fi neo-western series, Outer Range, which will arrive in streaming May 16th.
Yes.
So just 2 weeks away, man.
I can't wait.
Watch season two. Yeah, the series follows Josh Brolin's Royal Abbot, a rancher who's willing to fight anything and anyone, even the unknown, in order to protect his land and his family. And the first season, he discovers a mysterious dark void on the west pasture of his family ranch. The second season sees Royal and his family, Cecilia, struggle to keep their families together in the aftermath and their granddaughter's sudden disappearance. That was a shocker. Yes. We can't spoil it for people who haven't seen, but that granddaughter, I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, man.
I'm going to have to
rewatch it.
I'm going to have to back myself up the next couple days and watch it because I seen it flash on the screen the other day.
Yep.
I'm going to start watching it a little bit.
Oh, you can get through it fast because it's only like 7 or 8 episodes.
Yeah, they're quick ones. And, man, it's a Western with a little bit of sci-fi.
It is. It's cool.
And
different.
I didn't think in the beginning that I would like a Western sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
one they tried years ago with Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig, the Cowboys versus Aliens, that wasn't that good, man.
That was terrible.
I was entertained, but leave it at that. It's not one of those movies I ever want to watch again.
No, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, see, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, dude.
All right, let's move on here because we got a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Do it.
Speaking of the jab, the COVID-19 jab manufacturer ordered to disclose safety data to woman who suffered from thrombosis after receiving shot. And you said that offshore, that's some kind of blood clot?
Yeah. I can look up the actual while you're talking.
Okay. The German court ruled COVID-19 manufacturer AstraZeneca must provide comprehensive information regarding all known side effects of its experimental, and there's the big term there, COVID-19 shot to a woman from Upper Franconia who suffered from thrombosis in the intestines and fell into a coma after receiving the AstraZeneca shot in March of 2021. So, dude, she got the first shot, and it put her in coma. Holy shit.
Not good, man. Not good at all.
I thought it was safe. A partial victory was achieved by a woman before the Bamberg High Regional Court. On Monday, a civil chamber ruled that the company must provide comprehensive information regarding all known effects and side effects of the coronavirus vaccine, specifically those relevant to the plaintiff's clinical condition. This encompassed any additional findings gathered between the vaccine's approval in December 2020 and February 2024. I thought we were told this was safe and effective. What's going on here?
Well, that's just a great marketing technique from the pharmaceutical people to get you to buy into the jab.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. We don't have to buy into it. It's all paid for by taxes.
Yeah. Well, that's
who pays for the taxes?
I'm using lingo here.
Yeah, but who had a multi-billion dollar revenue and stocks went up and everything? Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson. Ain't it funny that free shit basically made these companies richer?
Yes, it did. And, you know, they're using the play on words here. Thrombosis is another word for blood clot, of course.
Oh, now we're getting technical. Instead of saying, blood clot.
Can you imagine saying, it caused some of these folks' blood clots. Like your average folks are like, I don't know what thrombosis is. That must be a disease or something. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But wow. But blood clots are serious shit.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it is, man. You can't ignore it.
No.
Here's something you might like, Pirate. Samsung debuted their 98-inch crystal UHD TV.
Yes, I love Samsung. I love Samsung.
The price isn't bad. $4,000. You know, I've paid that set, and I'm not trying to brag. I've played close to that with that set.
Oh, shit.
So that's not bad. It's so let me see. The article said here, it's been a few months since we've heard any details about Samsung's latest 98-inch TV, but we learned that back in CES in January, now that the company's offered up more information of its 98-inch class crystal UHD Dude 9000. So it's a 9000 series. So that's actually their top-of-the-line TV, too, which will be available starting today for $4,000. Wow, man, a 98-inch TV.
Can you imagine going into Hooters and seeing that son of a bitch up on the wall?
Man. Like
maybe two or three of them linked together, dude.
Maybe I'll put one in here when that TV dies.
Oh, I love
that. I've got no plan on getting rid of that TV until it dies, but you don't repair TVs anymore. You replace them.
Nah, when you're done with them, you take them out back and use them as your shooting range.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Think about it. There's no TV repair that I know of in this town anymore. I used to know a few of them. There was that dude there off of MLK by the tire store. He used to do that to you. Matter of fact, he would roll his big spring TVs out to MLK just as you drive by. And you're like,
leave them on all night.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Well, it was basically if you want a cheap TV that works, come see him. If you need to repair it, he fixes it. But the dude retired, man. I don't know any of TV repair. In this area.
Well,
man.
There was one in off of 92 in Plant City.
Oh, I'm sure they still exist, but they're just not as obvious anymore.
I'm going to have to ride by. I ride by that place every day. Hell, I rode by there today, but I just don't look at it because I'm not ever going to take a TV to a repair shop anymore.
Right.
I mean, back in the day, you would take your Zenith. Oh, my Zenith broke down.
Yep.
The dial knob broke off. I can't change the channel. Let's take it to see you, Harold.
Right.
And you'd
load
the son of a bitch in the back.
Or they'd come to your house.
Or, yeah.
In South Dakota, when I lived there, I mean, as a little kid, I remember the TV repair guy would come to our house, and he worked for Kmart. So a Kmart TV repairman came to our house.
Can you imagine that was a job that somebody wanted
to
do? That's
what he did. He drove around in a company van.
Yeah, Larry, what do you do for a living? I'm a TV repairman for Kmart, damn it.
And I remember the first time he popped off the panel, I was blown away just by seeing all the capacitors and the resistors and the board in there and everything.
And he knew how to fix it.
And he knew how to fix all that shit.
He would open that tubes, son of a bitch up.
Tubes as well. There was tubes, vacuum tubes.
And in the van, he probably had all these little boxes.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they had like different tubes.
Yeah.
He knew all of them.
Dude, probably. That was an art. That was truly an art.
Long gone. Rest in peace, industry.
Yeah, I know. Well, all right. Well, that'll go ahead and wrap us up for news items and pop culture.
Welcome to the portion of the show that is the infamous Florida Man. And I know y'all have been waiting for that.
I love Florida Man because I get excited and I get anxious at the same time because I'm like, oh my God, these people live in my state.
It is incredible. This is incredible state that we live in here, this FLA.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Spill it on me, man. What you got?
Number one, a Florida woman went on a wild rampage at a local Wawa in Pinellas Park Friday night.
Yeah, what kind of rampage?
Oh, this was around 10 p.m. now.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what's going on. Nothing's good going on after 10 p.m. at a Wawa.
Yeah.
Christina Marie Crane, 37, allegedly stabbed a man with a large knife.
Dang, a stabbing at the Wawa.
Yeah, and committed other crimes as well.
Wow, did he go ow, ow?
Oh, dude.
There was ow, ow at the Wawa?
Yeah, so authorities believe the suspect was under the influence at the time, and she acted in a state of delirium when she entered the store.
What, too many Budweisers or?
No. These people are not on Budweiser nowadays. They are on some good shit.
Like heroin or meth.
Meth or fentanyl or all of the above, maybe.
Ooh, man, that's bad stuff.
Yeah.
Fentanyl's really bad, dude.
I mean, these people, to get that cuckoo, they've got to be on some good shit.
Yeah.
So,
what are the other crimes you mentioned?
So, well, Crane had entered the store and she had entered the deli area of the Wawa. And, you know, they make them sandwiches up.
Yeah, from the touch screens and stuff. Yeah.
And so she went behind the counter, just walked right up in there and said, hey, there's a big old knife over here. Let me get one of them.
Oh, she used an official Wawa knife.
Yeah, so she grabbed the big ass knife that they use to cut up sandwiches and meat and stabbed a random man.
Oh, gee. So this wasn't even an ex-boyfriend or soon-to-be ex-boyfriend.
No, she just grabbed the freaking knife, pulled over, stabbed the dude in the gut. He fell down, hit his hand, and ripped his hand open, too, as well, they said.
Ow.
And then she decided that she would run out of the frickin' store and ran down to a nearby office building, came in with the knife and raised it over her head and went to an employee and said, I would kill you.
This is cuckoo, man.
Yeah, yeah, and then she swung the knife at others in this office. She was like swinging it like this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Most people don't know how to handle a knife.
Nah, this bitch did. And she was swinging that shit, and then she got pissed off, flung the knives, and smashed a computer on a desk.
Wow. Now, this guy she stabbed randomly, did he survive?
Yes, he did. He's in the hospital.
Good, 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 good.
So she, Miss Crane, was booked into the Pinellas County Jail. Listen to these charges: attempted felony, murder, criminal mischief, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Sounds like some serious charges here.
Dude, that's crazy.
All right.
Number two, Florida man story. Florida man chucks pasta at driver during road raid incident. This is definitely a Florida man story.
I just washed this car and you got spaghetti all over my hood.
Well, so this is over glaring headlights. You know, when you're driving down the road at night and these headlights are so bright.
I'm not trying to be the old man here, but these new LED headlights, man, they are bright white. It's like I'm struggling with this a couple times. They're too bright.
And you know, we were talking about this. Me and my son, we were talking about this, how some of these jokers ride with them unadjusted. They don't adjust the projectors on them.
Right. They're right in your face.
They order them from Amazon. I'm going to put me some lights up in there.
Yeah, they still have to be, has to be still adjusted.
It's supposed to be like this.
Right, a crisscross. Yep.
And also, a lot of these son of a bitches throw them in high beams and think it's cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they really want to see. And you know what? I actually once installed them on my old Honda Accord. They were nice, but they didn't last. And you know why? Because like a typical guy, I didn't read the instructions.
I touched
the bulb with my greasy fingers, and then they popped. And when they popped, I said, I'm not paying for these again. So then I put regular old halogens back in. Because even my mom, she was visiting. She noticed when we were driving at night, she goes, wow, your headlights are really bright. And I says, oh, yeah, Ma, I put one of those new LEDs in there. She goes, wow, you can really see. And that's the thing. I get it. I get why as a driver, they're nice. But the other driver approaching you is getting flashed here. Can't see.
I get flashed a lot in my truck. But
I can't see, man. It sucks.
My headlights are big, but I never have changed them out. They're the original factories. Yeah. They're just bright as hell.
Yeah. Same with my cars.
Yeah. So this guy is accused of tossing pasta with sauce at another driver, striking him with the food through his open window. So this dude that was the glaring headlight son of a gun, his window was open. So I guess as they were crossing, he
got a pasta toss.
He became frustrated and threw the spaghetti through the window of the glaring light guy.
Now, the glaring light guy, did he ask for some Parmesan cheese?
Well, so the glaring light guy, the actual spaghetti guy, actually, Nolan Goins, 46, was arrested and charged with simple battery in connection with this incident. The saucy attack happened around 9 p.m., last Thursday, on Park Street and Bay Pines Boulevard.
Wow.
That's in Pinellas County.
That's not too far from us.
Yeah, our good old Pinellas.
Like our neighbors, practically.
Yeah, they are our neighbors. The incident unfolded when Goins became enraged because of the glaring headlights from the victims. Goins then threw the pasta at the victim. The victim was not injured, but in the pasta attack, he did become covered in pasta sauce on his arms, torso, and legs.
You know what makes Florida Man hurt just a little more, especially when it's local for us? It's like, oh, man, why?
Well, I'm going to tell you today, all of our stories are local.
I think this, yeah, the story I have is local, too.
So, folks, all of y'all that are outside of our area,
you're fine.
Tampa Bay is a growing area, and this is where our show is flagship from.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a growing population of fruitcakes.
Oh, yeah. All right.
All right.
Moving on.
I am going to let you do.
You want me to do the next one?
Do a story, and then I got two right. more, and then we'll be done with
all right. Well, yeah. So
two more after this, by the way.
So this is a Florida woman, mm-hmm. if I can change the dynamics of the show just a little bit.
Yeah, you can do that.
A Florida woman. She was accused of posing as a 14-year-old homeschooler while having sexual relations with a child in trouble once again in Tampa, Florida.
Oh,
the man. Article said Tampa Bay, Florida, but I refuse to call it that. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't going to, I'm back
Tampa
to story.
Bay, Tampa Bay. Yeah.
No, just no. Tampa, Florida, Tampa. Not Tampa Bay, Florida. There is no city of Tampa Bay, Florida. But anyways, 23-year-old Alyssa, nice name, was arrested in November and has been cuffed again and faces charges related to four other alleged victims who are minors, the Tampa Bay report. Okay. So assumingly she's banging boys, teenage boys. Are they really victims?
Well,
because think about it. They telling their buddies and high five. Hey man, what's her name? Her last name is Zinger. Hey, I effed Mrs. Zinger. Oh yeah, I effed her last week too. Hell yeah, man.
What happened there is either a concerned parent or a
how about caught in the act?
Or a concerned principal or supervisor at the school probably got wind of this and then they had to take action.
Well, here's more of the story here. Following her initial arrest in November, law enforcement officers charged her with two counts of lewd and lascivious battery and five counts of lewd and lascivious molestation of a person 12 to 15 years old. So she's been in trouble with this before. Oh, Zinger is accused of contacting a child using the app called Snapchat. So this ain't even really school per se. And posing as a homeschooler to engage in sexual relationship with young victims. So she was trying to act like a teenager herself.
Oh, boy.
So she was lying about her age. Maybe you know, I mean, it's a podcast here. I didn't look up her picture. Maybe she's attractive and looks young for her age. I've seen some of these women, and I had to do a double take because they look so young in the face, but they got the boobies and the butt, and they're...
Oh, they could easily look like they're 16 or 18. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, so Mrs. Zinger, woohoo, was arrested Thursday at... we already talked about that. So four additional accusers in the area bring out a total of five. So this lady's in some hot water here. A spokesman for the TPD, Tampa Police Department, not the TBPD, just TPD. Sorry, I'm going off of my rant again. Well, while investigating the case, Zinger was arrested after more possible victims were identified but did not provide additional details about the allegations. Appears the young woman had a TikTok account, big shock, because a video reportedly shows Zinger wearing a low blue-cut crop top and black leggings dancing to music in the bathroom. There's nothing wrong with that, but I guess she's kind of putting it out there. Now Zinger is facing 12 counts in all, according to the Tampa Bay Times. One commenter said on the Tampa Bay Times, "What the hell is wrong with people? What is it with these people who are going after kids? I hope she gets locked up for a long time." So yeah, another local Florida man, woman news for you, man.
Ugh. Now that's a good story there. Well, let's move on with some more Florida man. This guy here arrested for allegedly pointing lasers at a passenger aircraft in international airport.
Wow.
In Tampa.
Oh, man.
So a Florida man, 47-year-old Douglas Sullenberger, had an interesting hobby. He likes to point lasers, and I'm doing my fingers, lasers.
He's doing the Dr. Evil laser beam.
At planes, uh-huh. It all started when a JetBlue pilot experienced blinding rays from the laser while trying to land at Tampa Airport.
What a jerk.
And this
you can kill people, man.
Yeah, yeah. And this wasn't the first time He has allegedly pointed lasers at 40 or more incoming flights at Tampa Airport since January 1st of this year in 24.
Wow.
The JetBlue pilot did manage to safely land a plane. So the Tampa Police Department did some surveillance, then obtained a search warrant, and went to Sullenberger's home where they located several lasers.
Wow, I'm glad they tracked this guy down, but you got to wonder, how did they track this guy down? Maybe the pilot gave a general vicinity and they kept scoping in the evening, see if somebody was out there doing something.
Well, I think it was pretty much he would park outside of the gates there, probably the
airport.
Yeah. And someone located the direction, so they did undercover surveillance, seen him pull up and do
Found out. I bet you he was trying to do it again.
They probably got his tag, figured out who he was.
Well, I hope he gets locked up for a long time.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh, we got more, huh?
Yeah, they went to his home, located the lasers, and police say that this could have resulted in a tragic accident. Sullenberger was booked into the Orient Road Jail. And he was charged with misuse of laser lighting device.
It makes me sad. I know what the Orient Road Jail is.
Oh, I've been there.
I've been there once too. Yep. Not as a perp. Just to get that out of the way, I went there to pick somebody up. Not as a perp. I didn't have to put on the orange, you know, jumpsuit. So
yeah. All right. So here's the last Florida man story. I know you guys are really wanting to hear this one.
Okay.
Florida man disguised as a woman, accused of stealing a boat and a UTV.
Mm-hmm.
Florida man around 3 p.m. Wednesday, this is last Wednesday, stole a boat near Lake Okeechobee. The boat was reported stolen, so sheriff deputies were called and they came out to investigate. While surveying the area, they spotted the boat and the suspect coming out of a house. Suspect was identified as Joshua Kalatka, 33. He was leaving the nearby home dressed as a woman.
As a woman.
To disguise himself. So sheriffs then also found the boat, as well as a stolen John Deere Gator, and several other miscellaneous items stolen from nearby residents. So he was also wanted on two more warrants. So Kalatka was arrested and booked into the Glades County Jail.
Wow.
How about that for Florida Man News?
Wow, man. That was a good one today. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Movie review. So the first time on All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca, Chewbacca went and saw a movie that came out recently, and it is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Now, you a fan of Ghostbusters at all, Pirate?
So-so. The first one, yes.
The first one was iconic.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah. The one with the women in it.
That one doesn't count.
Okay. I didn't even understand it.
No. No, I didn't like that one.
And number two?
Two. Well, the problem with two is that they try to take the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and put it in the Statue of Liberty. Now, I don't mean literally, but you got this gigantic character that's walking through New York City. The first one was Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, which was funny, because Dan Aykroyd imagined him up, but then boom, here's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. But the Statue of Liberty, even though it was on the good side this time, it just didn't have that same feel. You know, it was kind of funny, you know, Statue of Liberty's walking down, you know, Broadway with their torch up still and everything, but it wasn't that good. But this Frozen Empire actually counts as the fourth in the series, but this to me is a new part of Ghostbusters that involves a younger crew, but has ties to the original. So minor spoiler here, one of the characters, Phoebe, in this movie, she is Egon's granddaughter.
Oh.
So give you an idea, she's a Spengler. So what they did with Ghostbusters Afterlife, the previous, it was a soft reboot, but it's still homage the original, but they made the new movie about themselves. So this is part four called Frozen Empire, and this one is back in Egg York City because the third movie wasn't in Egg York City, which was a first for Ghostbusters. It was different. It was a little yee-haw. Most of the Ghostbusters 3 was in Oklahoma.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's hardly any city involved. So you might kind of like to preview it because a lot of people have got older cars still there and everything. Yeah, this was like the first Ghostbusters movie with no New York, because the first one was New York. Second one in New York. The chick one was New York.
Yeah.
But the chick doesn't count, so we'll take her out. But Ghostbusters 3 and 4 are the new cast, but first one being Oklahoma, second one back in Egg York City. But it got a PG-13 rating for suggestive references, language, supernatural action and violence, falls under the comedy, fantasy, and adventure genre. And so far, it's made $88 million at the box office, has a runtime of 1 hour and 55 minutes. Now, the critics were not nice to this movie. They gave it an F minus.
Oh, boy.
The fans give it a B. Me, I'm going to give it like a B plus.
Okay.
It blew my mind away, but still a fun movie.
How much did it cost to go at the AMC? Because I know you went to AMC.
So I went on the matinee Tuesday. Okay. So it was only like $6 or $7.
Oh, 1980s prices. Okay.
Yeah. But no, it was nice. You know, now I kind of miss the old days of AMC being crowded, but at the same time, I don't, because going to a movie then, now there's very pleasurable, because you can buy the ticket online, scan your QR code. The place is dead.
I think it's so dumb shit that you have to actually still pick your seat out, even though I feel like
I don't like that either.
I'm like, you dumbasses, no one's coming to this theater. Why do we have to pick out our-
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and the thing was, is that they put in the seat assignments just when things were starting to drop off for them.
Yes.
You know, so to have a seat assignments now, I think, is just dumb. Let me just sit down where I want to sit down.
Yeah. AMC, read the room. We don't need that anymore.
No. But anyways, I enjoyed this Ghostbusters movie. I'm biased. But I like to see, at least with the reviews, that the fans agree with me. If you're a fan of this show, you will like it. But it didn't blow me away. But still, laugh out loud moments. Dan Aykroyd was great. Ernie Hudson was great. Annie Potts was in it. I'm talking the OG Ghostbusters were in it.
Yeah.
And had bigger roles in it. And it was done well.
When it comes out on the
Chewy TV or Chew MC.
One of the TV channels that we get.
Chew MC Theaters, man. Yeah. But I'll have it here before you find it.
You might. Nah. And I'll watch it. And I'll be able to rate it under Pirate's rating system.
Pirate rating. There we go. All right, cool. But go see Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. It's worth it.
Recently, the Charlotte Police Department had serve a warrant for a felon that had he was in possession of a firearm.
Okay, can't have a possession of firearm when you're a felon.
No, you're not allowed.
You're not supposed to. For those of us that follow the rules,
yeah, it is against the law, folks. And when the police come, they want to get you and get the firearm, and you were required to put your firearm down. But this guy did not do it. Mm-hmm. It became a shootout. And we have 4 fallen officers now as the result.
4?
4.
Wow.
As well as 4 other officers that were injured.
Jesus, this guy's a crack shot.
Yeah, and we are not sure. Of course, they're not sure. There may have been more than one shooter in this home where they were. Because he was shooting from the second floor.
Right.
So the suspect, Terry Clark Hughes, Jr., 39, he was dead at the scene.
They gunned him down, huh?
They gunned his ass down.
Yeah. No, you're not going to trial with this. Nope. No.
There was 12 Charlotte MPDs, Mecklenburg County, officers that were returning fire on the house at Galloway Drive.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a real-life shootout.
Dude. And, you know, they did end up recovering an AR-15 rifle and a 40 caliber handgun.
Well, that'll get demonized.
Yeah.
Oh, see,
yeah.
Look, AR-15 kills police.
It's an assault rifle.
Yeah. Assault rifle 15.
Yeah, and they had a 40 caliber handgun with magazines and ammunitions that were there.
Yeah, they won't talk about that.
No. And he never used a pistol. He used the AR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a travesty, man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that 4 guys, they just went there to
serve a warrant
and get this guy in.
I think he'd be good with 4 cops.
Yeah, you would think. But they had to call backup. And, you know, this guy, by the way, had an extensive criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem.
And yet he was out on some kind of technicality. And I don't mean somebody screwed up, just maybe he paid bail, you know, or he served his time in jail. So he got an early release, you know. It's just stuff like this, you know, I mean.
when you get locked up for good reasons, you should stay locked up for those reasons, not this pity paddly stuff. I mean, we've got four police officers now, and I'm assuming at least a couple of them had families that are now suffering and sad over what? And they can't even punch this guy in the face because now he's dead too, you know, as some kind of retribution. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't blame the cops for doing what they did. That guy was a dead man now. Think about it. It turned it from an arrest into dead man. And there'll be hearings for the cops, but it won't be no actual court trial because you have to do an after actions. You got to review. You got to know what's going on here. I mean, what a freaking travesty, man.
Yeah. And the head sheriff from their Mecklenburg County was saying, you know, he knew that this individual did serve some significant amount of time in jail and had been released.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, I can give you hundreds of examples of people that I feel should not be out here.
Right.
In public, released.
I know. I agree, man.
And he said, even I've been pretty vocal. He has been. I've seen him on TV many times. He said about certain juveniles that should not be released back out because they're not ready to be in public and conduct themselves.
No.
You know, they're dangerous to society.
Oh, God, yeah.
And here's where he's admitting, and we need to all admit this, and politicians do too, is that the court systems are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
The district attorneys are overwhelmed with the dockets. And he's saying here in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, that's a growing county. That's a growing metropolis, area.
Right.
And they're trying to find answers, and there is no answer.
No.
Four of their sheriffs are deputies are shot because this guy was dangerous and he was wanted on all these charges that he just didn't respect the law.
Well, and he didn't feel he should go to jail over it. I'll be damned if I'm going to jail again, you know?
Yeah. And, of course the sheriff said that they had, fired well over 100 rounds.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, you shoot cops or you're going to piss them off.
Oh, yeah. They call this too, it might be this guy's intention. We don't know this, but they call this too, suicide by cop. This guy might've wanted this to happen. And in his sick mind, I bet you thought it was fun to be in a shootout like that. And look about it this way, from their perspective, they took out four guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now what happened to his partner? I missed that part. Anything happened to the, no, you suspected there was a second shooter, but they don't know.
Yeah. They found, two female persons of interest, including a 17-year-old in the house. So they don't know if they were shooting or not. It's unclear of who they were in relationship to the shooter.
Right.
And,
that's sad.
Yeah. This is happening
too often.
Charlotte. It's happening in many areas. Well,
thanks for defund the police there, you know, lefties.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's not just that. It's the whole movement on, you know, we don't need the cops. We don't, the whole idea.
Or the DA's not prosecuting.
And not respecting a cop or a sheriff when people see them.
What about that DA up in New York the other day that got pulled over for doing a 55 and a 35? And on the body cam, I don't know if you saw this, she said, I'm the DA. I'll be prosecuting this case anyways. Like being all lippy with the cop and everything. And the guy was like, ma'am, why are you acting like this? I have not been disrespectful for you. I pulled you over for doing a 55 and a 35. You're not getting away with this just because you're the DA. I mean, she even pulled out her badge, which was funny. I didn't know DAs carried a badge, but I guess they are law enforcement to a degree, but they're on the legal side of things. And of course, the next day she came out and apologized for it. Now it was conduct unbecoming of me and everything. And I was like, too late, bitch. You are on police body cam acting like an asshole.
Yeah, well, you know,
people like that.
Until our country wakes up and shows respect to the cops.
Yep.
And they learn lessons from these tragedies.
But news like this gets over the country, and look what happens. People are like, yeah, I'm sure there are people out there saying, yeah, well, they deserved it anyways.
Yeah, but it's just,
there's no respect.
And that's why there are a lot of cops not entering, and they are also leaving law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, I don't blame them.
Nobody's got their backs.
I don't want to do it. Why keep locking up somebody that the district attorney is going to let go?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's insidious, that's man.
Insane. Well, rest in peace to those cops, man.
It's just a bad story, man.
Yep.
So let's talk about this here, stories about these protesters at universities,
June. Oh, boy. Are we using the proper nomenclature by calling them protesters at this point?
Nomenclature. I love how you use that word. So,
well, that's another Big Lebowski thing, too.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
No wonder you use it.
Reference. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like micturate. Yeah. Now you say it, which is fucking hilarious.
I mean, micturate. Damn it.
That's what you did. You told me you have to micturate.
So, yeah, it, this is the thing. I mean, years back, we had war protests. We had,
of course,
Vietnam protests. We've had all these protests at college. We had peace protests.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives. And here we are with one where these people are anti-Israel protesters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From the river to the sea. Doesn't it sound so wonderful? You know what that really means? They want to put all the Jews in the ocean. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah. We cannot have a United States where we are divided like this. I mean, there are Jewish people and Palestinian people here. We cannot live together like this.
Well, and we're supposed to live together like this. That's supposed to be the beauty of America. You don't be an asshole to me, and I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Chinglong. I don't care if you're Greek Orthodox or if you're a Jew or a Sunni Muslim.
Yeah.
Or like my grandmother, Shinto.
Yeah.
Are you cool to me? Am I cool to you? Cool. You know, but these protests have gone over the line now because now they're occupying buildings. They're breaking into buildings.
Yes.
They're getting violent. They're attacking police. They're saying pigs go home.
Well, listen.
The very protection that's there for them to make sure it doesn't get out of control, they start some shit with the cops.
At Columbia,
mm-hmm.
they recently tried to break into Hamilton Hall.
They did. They broke in.
Yeah. And the police never even showed up after students that were annoyed by it. They created a human chain to block them from getting into their dorm. That's their house.
Right.
You're coming into my house.
Now they're attacking them as being Muslim haters and all this other stuff.
No, that's their house. If someone comes to my house, exactly. I don't give a shit.
But I'm just saying, think about these kids who are protecting their house. They probably didn't care either way, some of them. And now they're getting labeled from this group as people that they are not.
Yeah, and police and university at Columbia, because Columbia is in New York.
Yep.
They never showed up. This kid that was 22-year-old history senior says he was furious about the university police not coming or the NYPD never arriving despite calling 911 multiple times.
Wow. 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 What are the point? Because, look, all respect to cops, but they are local government. What's the point of having this local government entity if they're not going to do their job?
Yeah. Yeah. Nonetheless,
I bet you they are told to stand down. We're not going to get involved in that.
Nonetheless, we're looking at those protesters are trespassing onto a state government university.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing with that. Now, there have been some arrests made. A lot of these protesters are not even students. They're professionally paid protesters. Where do you think all those tents came from?
Yes.
From donors.
Uh-huh.
Somebody is putting coal in the fire or wood in the fire, however you want to put it. There's even been talks because he's always the go-to guy, Mr. George Soros.
I was just going to say his
name. Mr. George Soros, even though it hasn't been proven yet, because I don't want any liability here, even the podcast, we can get in trouble for liability. But there are talks out there that he is funding this. Or somebody, even if it's not Soros, what kind of sick, rich bastard is funding this kind of behavior?
Well, and the whole problem is we have come to a point where these universities are not teaching, you know, these type of values where we should all get along. They're teaching, let's protest.
They're teaching hate.
Hate.
They're teaching victimhood. They're teaching only diverse people can advance. They're teaching climate change. They're teaching gender studies. You know, because when I went to USF, the joke back in the day was you took underwater basket weaving, which was an easy class. Underwater basket weaving has now turned into gender studies. That's the new joke of a degree that you're working on. And look at these parents, or if you're funding, a lot of students fund themselves. Why are you paying for this? What is your end game by having this kind of college of experience? Because Columbia is not a big university. It is a university, but it is actually not that big of a place.
I mean, I understand that if you're sending your student, your child, to a university, he wants to become a doctor or a lawyer.
Do something with yourself.
But the thing is coming out of it, they are coming out with this mentality that we are, the way we have come to this point in this country, that we were all evil and it was wrong.
Well, they've been chanting death to America, yet these are the same group of students that want their college loans forgiven.
Oh yeah, they'll take it.
It's like have their cake and eat it too. And the other thing that's coming out of this that upsets me is because, look, there are definitely travesties being taken on the both sides. Israel is pissed, and they've crossed the line in attacking Palestinians as well. It's a little out of hand right now. Yes. Okay,
that's war.
But it's war, and we can go back to this. They've been doing this for thousands of years, and there's nothing inaccurate about this. But to me, this kind of goes back to October 7th. When over 1,400 Jews at a music festival were slaughtered by Palestinian soldiers, so professionally trained soldiers, over what? Because you happen to be Jew, and I happen to become a Muslim, and I believe you're in my country, even though the other side knows you're in my country. And that's where it never ends. It keeps going this back and forth, back and forth. So to me, the line in the sand has to be October 7th. And the thing was, October 7th happened. That was basically like their 9/11. They still have hostages to this day, Pirate.
Yes.
Where were these protesters on October 7th when innocent people were slaughtered? Nowhere to be seen. Where is the protest that's saying, fuck Palestine? Those don't exist.
No.
All this is people trying to be, not even being pro-Hamas, which is pro-terrorism and pro-Palestinian, and hating on Jews and hating on America in our own country.
Well, and you're not going to find we're against Palestine, because most normal American people...
That'd be fucking stupid to say that.
Yeah, most normal people that are going to school here and they're Jewish, say they were over here from Israel.
Even if they live here and they're Jewish, so what?
They're not going to act like that.
No.
They're going to be like, well, there is a war. They took our people. There is some hostages. Yes, because this could be resolved very quickly by saying, Hamas, can we have our hostages back? Sure. Okay, now let's talk about peace. That could be quickly resolved, but it's not going to happen that way.
Well, both sides aren't interested in that anymore.
No, they're not.
Because you have to talk to negotiate. Both sides aren't interested, and our president isn't helping things either, because he's supposed to be intervening and cooling things, and he ain't doing nothing but like telling Iran lobbed some missiles at him a couple weeks ago. Well, for months, Joe Biden's big message to Iran, because they heard of this may happen, his big answer to them was just don't.
Yeah.
And the Secretary of Defense used the same term, and some other cabinet member. That was their big... That was her big, strong word, Pirate.
Don't.
And they did it anyways. So way to intervene, you know, and thanks to the Jordanian country. Thanks to us in Iraq, because they had to go over Iraq, and the Jewish defenses. 99% of those missiles were all shot down, because they shot cruise missiles. They shot drones. And I don't think they went as far as mortars, but those are the two big long distance things that they did. And they did this in Iran. But these Hamas fuckers in our country are out there saying, we're the victims. It's like, no, you're really not. I mean, you are, but you're not, because don't act like your side hasn't done a lot of travesties yourself.
Well, here's the whole big to do. They're acting like... But they're here in the protection of us.
Yeah, they're using our freedom of speech.
I bet you their ass, if they were over there in Israel right now, they sure as hell wouldn't be acting that way.
You couldn't protest like that. Maybe Israel, but try to be woke and gay in Saudi Arabia.
It ain't happening.
Good luck.
It ain't happening.
Because they're very restrict with their Muslim religion.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not acceptable right now with that. And I'm not... Again, supporting it or not supporting it, but I respect their culture. You know, I disagree with being anti-gay and flocking gays and maybe even killing them. I think that's wrong to do that to a human being just because you happen to like someone of the same sex. But right now, according to their legal laws, their religious laws, it violates that. So that's what cracks me up too. These protesters, I've been seeing gays for Hamas. I saw a sign that said gays for Hamas. I'm like, good thing you're here in the States.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would not fly over there. That would not work. And that's how stupid these people are.
Yeah, this is completely a sham. This is completely contrived and paid for.
Yeah. Oh, there's professional agitators, this man. Is absolutely.
Some underground deep state type of shit going on.
Yep.
This is to make our education system look like a complete joke.
Well, it should be exposed for what it is. A lot of it is a joke.
Yes.
How many college degree people now are graduating with their bachelor's degree and, no offense, still starting a minimum wage job because their degree that they earn is useless. And it doesn't have to be gender studies. I knew people who graduated USF with a biology degree. Well, unless you planned on going for a master's, you're pretty much qualified to become a school teacher. And they didn't go to college to get a biology degree to become a school teacher, you know, but they were lied to by their counselors for some reason or another.
Yeah. I remember in our day, they made, you know, it sound like you could just go to college and you're going to come out with a great job.
Up to a year later, Pirate, three ladies I knew who I worked with at USF after graduation were servers at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that job. My argument being is that you didn't need to go to college to work as a server at the Cheesecake Factory.
No, you do not. I mean, and this is where high school needs to work with students on proper planning.
But they don't. They don't, they man. They don't do coat. Any of this crap anymore, man. They just, no. Even in high school level, in junior high, public schools, they pass them now. They don't fail them.
No.
They don't fail them. So you get this kid who's in the 11th grade and is still reading at the third grade level. That's government public schools for you, man.
Well, yeah. And the reason why they pass them too, Chewy, is because of these voucher programs.
All this crap.
All this shit where they've got to earn budget money.
Yep.
And don't fail Jimmy or Sally.
Oh, yeah.
Because dude, if we get X on our budget.
I've heard our alma mater, Brandon High, has turned into a daily fighting ghetto school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe
it. Because I had a teacher that worked there. A friend of mine was a teacher that worked there. And he was an ROTC guy. He said, my kids were fine. But the rest of the school, constant, out of control, fights breaking out in the hallways all the time. And he had to go out there and break them up. Yeah, you know, yeah. it just, you know, and he retired early. He retired after 17 years of teaching. He is like,
do you blame him?
No, because he got tired of it. Yeah. Even having good kids, because he said most kids who go in ROTC, most of them got a good head on their shoulders because they want to do something with their life. Right. You get a couple goofballs here and there, but that's normal. But he said he loved most of his students. They were good. He said just dealing with the other students in the school who were in regular classes, I guess, just was just too much, man.
Yeah, it just boils down to our education system is run by this bullshit idea that the government knows what's best for.
Yep, and now they're at the college level up in all these cities protesting and breaking shit and
out of control and not respecting the law.
Right.
And because we've defunded the in some of these states, the police
still have not recovered.
No, some of these police departments and sheriff departments are like, screw this. You know, we're not.
I ain't doing it.
Yep.
Nope. I ain't getting involved in that. We're already outnumbered. What do you want us to do?
Yeah. And so this is a big dilemma we're at. And we need a solution to these problems in the next future here. This very soon future.
To me, it all comes back down to the fundamentals, comes back down to the basics. And you get, unfortunately, progressives who have to take any simple thing and complicate it.
Yes.
Because that's what progressives do. And progressives does not mean a Democrat.
No.
Progressive also means a Republican.
And we have a lot of them.
And we have a lot of progressive people in this country because they are either told, believe, or researched to finding that we can be better people, and this is how you do this to become a better people, but they don't realize that they're damaging society at the same time. That's why people are tired of wokeism. That's why people are tired of political correctness. That's why the entertainment industry, as we talked about earlier, are still suffering. Hollywood is still suffering because they keep putting out crap. And the tide has to turn in this country, because to me, you're allowed to disagree in this country and not get canceled over it. But these people want to cancel you. I mean, come on, they're screaming death to America, but you live here. It's like, yeah, well, where are you going to go? So say somehow they accomplish death to America. Well, what do you do now? they don't realize where this is going, man.
Yeah.
Well, you got anything else with this subject, man?
No, I just, like I said, we need a solution in the near future, because this.
Well, I have it. People aren't willing to do it. Yeah. I have the solutions. People are not willing to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know that.
Yep.
I know.
It's a simple solution, but and I'm not talking being radical, going, you know, mowing people down or something like that. No, but it's got to start from the ground level. It has to start out in your town. It has to start out in your county. It has to start out in your state, and then the federal government. The vibe has to change, and a lot of more people are speaking out right now. You know, and people are tired of being told what you can and cannot say. You know, don't tell me I can't use the word retarded. Okay. I'm not doing it to demonize people with mental deficiencies. It's just an old word that we used to use when you're acting kind of stupid. Don't tell me that word's offensive. Well, I'm offended that you're offended, and more people are fighting back, including me personally. I refuse to do the PC thing.
Yeah, I do too. I am.
I'll say what the fuck I want.
I'm tired of not being able to, the people telling me season's greetings and sending me a damn season greetings card.
Or happy holidays.
Happy, yeah. What holidays am I celebrating? It's just Christmas.
I celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, and New Year's.
Yeah.
Okay? You know? And the rest of the holidays, you know?
And that's coming back too, man. That was a thing a few years ago where it was like, oh, you probably shouldn't say Merry Christmas, because even though people celebrate Christmas, they might not actually be a Christian. And I'm like, then why the fuck are you celebrating Christmas then?
Yeah, yeah. There are lots of people put up a Christmas tree and put lights out front.
But a Christmas tree.
Yes.
Okay. I get you don't have to be religious to support Christmas, but part of the idea is the birth of Christ and sharing presents. Hey, the tree is a pagan thing from your people, from the Stonehenge people, man.
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean, it's a little adoption of everything, but then it turns somehow a few years ago, it turned into, well, is Merry Christmas offensive? It's like, no.
Well,
some found it a point to tell you it was.
I just hate the fact that there's a lot of political correctness in everything. You can't.
Well, people are tired of it. We're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I mean they've.
I ain't doing it.
They've ruined everything from rock music to country music to everything's PC'd in all those genres.
Like the movies.
Yeah, they've ruined movies. Southern culture. They took the damn rebel flag away at NASCAR, and I enjoyed seeing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Not that it was a racist thing; it was a Southern heritage. It's a damn
Southern
it.
Heritage. You know? That's all it was.
You know, they made a bunch of people feel uncomfortable when the N word was around, so they said it like crazy. You know, now
it's acceptable.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And there's all kinds of stuff that we can just keep going down the pike that.
Heck, they and you're right. I mean, but just another thing you said with the heritage stuff. There are schools that told a kid to take off his T-shirt because there's an American flag on it. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, the American flag is our country's
flag.
But
they said it could be perceived as offensive. No, there is no perceived as offensive. Fuck off if you don't like it.
Here's the other thing. How about when little kids chewed their fucking Pop-Tarts into a shape of a gun?
Right, I remember that.
And how politically correct? Oh, that might be a gun. Little Billy had chewed it out of his Pop-Tart.
And yet we ran around our neighborhood with plastic guns and shot at each other all the time.
It's just, we have got to find a solution to get back on to
back to basics.
Train track of basics again.
Get to the fundamentals. That's all it is. It doesn't have to be complicated, but too many people make things complicated.
Very good.
All right, folks. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap up show number 27. We went a little long today. We had some other things to talk about, but Pirate and I said, you know what? We're working class men here, man, in different industries, but we're working men here, and we want to enjoy the evening. So
Sorry about that, folks.
That was a great show, man. I enjoy this. So the song of the week Pirate picked, and it's called On the Road Again. From Willie Nelson, as I teased earlier, that we'd be hearing from again. But
and that's a good song, a great song, and it's a good fit for our show All Over the Road, because here we are on the road again. Chewy.
Oh, yeah, all over the road and on the road again. So, thank you for downloading the show. You can find us at AkebonoRadio.com. Look for us on Facebook, Akebono Radio, and we are on X, Akebono Radio. So just look over to that. And you can find the All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. So any departing words before we leave there, Pirate?
And now you know the rest of the story.
A little Paul Harvey there, man. I like that.
Yes. Y'all have a great, great listening.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. My friend.